We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
How many times do you get to be your own James Bond? Like, you're going to be in that, you're going to be dressed to the nines. You're going to have be in a beautiful venue. You're probably going to be transported in a super nice car. Get you some nice whiskey. Take those shots. Like, get the photography and that video of you looking your best with your crew. You know, like, this is your Rat Pack. You know, so you know, embody what that is, and embody what that is. For your friend group, for your groom party, whatever that personality is for your people, do that.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn, plan that wedding. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. A show for anyone available. No.
Whoa.
A show.
Hey, you changed it up.
This is what I do. I screw myself up when I try to be different.
Try to get creative. You should stick to the basics.
So this is a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. Okay? We want you to learn something valuable and, get this, be entertained at the same time. I am Michelle Martinez.
And I am Christy Matthews. And usually I say, and my name is Christy Matthews, and even that small change
I messed you up too.
Threw me off a little bit. But that's who we are. We're Christy and Michelle, and we're wedding planners, and we have a podcast. And if you accidentally clicked on this, you should stick around.
Don't
it gets
go
better
anywhere.
Than the opening.
It's way better than the opening. But the opening's pretty good. I mean, come on. Come on. So
the opening is.
So this episode is for the mians, or those who identify as mians. Or, you know, wear suits, really. I mean, I don't think Cam is, he's like, listen, if you're going to wear a suit, I'm going to make sure you look good.
Yeah, it's kind of like the opposite of whatever is happening in one suite where it's getting ready and we're putting like getting ready on our timeline and we have a photographer coming to capture pictures of getting ready. Oftentimes that getting ready experience is for one side of the wedding party or one of the marriers.
Yes.
I like the word marrier. I'm using that more and more for equality. This is the like flip of that. So whatever group usually would, you would think like that's where all the attention is going to be paid. This episode and our guest and his business and services are catered to the other group that includes people who wear suits.
And let's just take this moment to reiterate how important we feel when wedding planning that this is a union of two people and there should be equal distribution, meaning both people equally involved. You can't see my hands right now.
And
they're moving a lot.
The day of.
Yes. Yeah. It's this is like the old school mentality of all, it's just about the bride. It's all about her. Whatever she wants, it's her day. We're throwing that out, okay?
Yes, we did that a lot. We threw it out a long time ago.
We threw that out a long time ago. And so when I found Cameron Fontaine, when I heard him speak on Clubhouse one day, several months ago, I was like, what? I got to get in touch with this guy. We're going to DM. We need him on the pod and we need to talk about this. It's a really awesome service. You're going to hear all about it in this episode. We are so, you know, pro what Fontaine concierge is doing. And, you know, again, like whenever we're building timelines, you know, your photographer, like those getting ready shots, it's always like, oh yeah, you know, the photographer needs the majority of the time. And I'm talking about in a heterosexual couple, clearly, but you know, the majority of the time in the woman's, you know, the getting ready room with all the girls. And then it's like, well, why don't you just run into the guy's room for like, you know, 15 minutes, just real quick. No. You know, we need...
And go ahead. It's a no-brainer that professionals are involved in the women's suite. Like, of course we have to have hair and makeup, yeah. Or of course we're all going to get there early and get dressed together, and we're going to have, you know, a little bit of mimosas and some sandwiches. Like, it's its own micro-event on the wedding day, and whatever's happening in the groom's suite is like an afterthought. And they're like, I guess we'll get donuts and, like,
should we get make some drunk? Coffee.
Who's going to help me tie my bow tie? I don't know how to do that. Oh, well, we'll figure it
and
out.
And they come out looking like shit. Okay. Often
a little disheveled.
Like, no, you know, the pants aren't sitting at the right part, you know, part of the waist. The jacket is wrinkled. The handkerchief, forget about it. I always have to fix that, you know, in the pocket of the breast, the jacket. You know, what Cameron does is put thought, you know, and intention and attention on the mm-hmm. other side, and make sure mm-hmm. that they are having a good time, that they know where they're going, what they're doing, that they look real good, and that it's just like, it's this other side's day too. Like, they're having fun.
Yeah. And it's taking care of a lot of details that you don't think about, or that we would put on these details on the oft forgotten list as wedding planners. Like, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? Do you know what you're doing? Have you hung up all the groomsmen's suits? Like, that even should be on a timeline, honestly. Like, hang them up, steam them, whatever. Let's look at them. I don't know. Just a lot of like little details go into both sides of this. So having somebody like Cam around, we keep calling him Cam.
Like, he's our best friend.
We're really comfortable. But it would be just so helpful on the way. As a planner, it would be so helpful.
Yeah, and a lot
It'd
of
be like
planners,
high-fiving this guy in the hallway, you know, of a hotel. Like, you did it. I did it. Let's go.
He's an extension of a lot of planners' services. Like, he works with planners often, which is genius. So anyway, listen to this episode. You're going to love it. It's going to give you some great ideas. He's lovely. We like Cam. He's my buddy. All right. Well, enjoy this episode, and let's hear it for these boys and Cam.
Hey guys, I'm Cameron, Fontaine Concierge, the lead groom's concierge there. I'm super excited to be on the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. From Newark, New Jersey, service to New York and New Jersey markets and beyond. And I'm looking forward to talking to you guys today.
Well, welcome, Cameron.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So Cam and I met on Clubhouse.
Yes.
There was a whole bunch of wedding planners, and you came up and you're like, yeah, you know, this is what I do. And everybody who was up on the stage was like, oh, what? How does it work? You know, I would love to like recommend you to my clients. And so tell us within a couple sentences exactly what Fontaine Concierge is.
Fontaine Concierge is literally the lieutenant to the wedding planner's captain. And we stay in our lane by focusing on the unique needs of the groom and the groom's party, by being very intentional about their experience and elevating it. Traditionally, their experience has been neglected, and we're just coming and bringing some intention to it, thinking about how they're getting dressed, thinking about their groom suite experience, thinking about how they're delivering the bride's gift, their gift to the bride, thinking about how they interact and engage with their groom's party. There's a lot of touch points for the bride and the bridesmaids on that side, and the guys are kind of left to fend for themselves at times, and we come in and bring that level of intention that's a lot of time reserved for the bride and the bridal party over to the groom side.
That's so interesting, because we as wedding planners know that is happening, like all the in these, you know, traditional hetero couples or what the experience is supposed to be. We know that it's very bride centric, and we've from the beginning of this podcast, tried to talk against that. Like, it's not just one person's day and, you know, think about the big picture, but it's an undeniable part of wedding planning. But you didn't come to this from a wedding planner friend of yours being like, hey, I need a captain. It was, or a lieutenant. It was from the attire standpoint that opened your eyes to it, right?
Yeah. So what happened is I was working in a retail on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. There's a lot of churches there, some nice venues there. And I would find that grooms were coming in the day of their wedding, sometimes 40 minutes before the ceremony with their groom and groom's entire groom's party, needing to have their bow ties tied. Or they're needing their shirt pressed, you know, or, you know, maybe a quick hem on a pant because a hem fell on their rental. And so what I started to do as a salesperson, I started to say, well, look, you know, as grooms come in, if you're shopping with me, you purchase a garment with me, I'll make myself available the day of the wedding. And after my first, I would say, two or three weddings, I realized that this is bigger than clothes.
The idea was like, save them the panic of like an hour before not knowing how the hell to put in their pocket square.
Exactly. So that, and I was just really thinking that the bride and the bridesmaid would never have to leave the bridal suite for anything. There's at least one attendant, if not two or three, there in the room helping with all the things from makeup to getting dressed to zipping up the dress, all of those things. And they would never have to leave the room for anything. So why are the groom or the groom party having to do these things? And I just thought I made myself available to my clients in that way. But once I got on site, like actually working in the weddings, I realized like this is bigger than clothes. Like these guys can definitely use support in a variety of different ways. And that's when the business kind of shifted from just being about garments to being more of a holistic experience, uniquely and specifically for the groom's part.
Because there is that element of pampering that people really look forward to on the wedding day and can feel very one-sided on who gets pampered,
yes,
where the money is going for that pampering.
Yeah, well, I mean, another thing is too, I just think that a lot of times it's not even necessarily about money, it's about intention. Just thinking about what type of experience you're looking to have. I can't tell you how many times I've been in the groom suite where the grooms are getting ready in a hotel room with a double bed and trying to, you know, maneuver around that. Just being intentional, okay, the bridal suite, we're thinking about, oh, we want to have a nice bridal suite and we'll just put the grooms in the hotel room. But they would like having a suite for them as well is important. I also see there's a trend with a lot of venues now that they're also incorporating not just bridal suites, but groom suites as well, that have a place for grooms to kind of, you know, wait while they're having their boutonnieres pinned and all of that stuff, not just in a hall somewhere, kind of corralled, like there's an actual space dedicated for them as well. So just, again, it's just more about being intentional about the experience and just bringing that level of awareness.
It's so interesting listening to you say this, and it's so true because... And Christy, going back to like people kind of wanting or expecting that pampering, I feel like also there is a certain level of pampering that comes to a woman on her wedding day that almost she doesn't expect. And she's like, oh, you know, like, can I get you anything? Like, or her friend's like,
yeah, it takes a couple hours and then she's very demanding because she gets it.
Yeah. Or you check into the hotel and they give you something special. Like everybody is like, it's your wedding day, you know, which is cool. And I remember feeling like that too, like, oh, that I didn't.
Yeah, it's like a delightful this was gonna surprise. Happen.
Yeah.
But you're right. We'll just get a hotel room for the guys. We'll just, whatever the is included in the room block that we did, just standard room. That's all they need. They don't care about much else. And I wonder if they actually don't expect it. If the guys are just like, whatever, it's cool. Just make it about her. I don't expect anything. And so that's their, maybe even during the planning process, kind of their take on things like, let's do what you want. Like, it's all good. I'll be fine.
Yeah. So a lot of times it's, oh, whatever my bride wants, I'm happy. Whatever she wants, I'm happy. So again, I think it just comes back. Like, I think the word for the day is intention. It's just asking the groom and saying, well, what is the one thing you want for yourself? You know, just think about that and kind of get them into a selfish mindset just for a second, to kind of start identifying the things that he wants for the groom wants for their experience. And then, as you know, like once you start to dive into that, you say, oh, I like this one thing. And that one thing can sometimes turn to two or 10, But once you have them start thinking about it, it's intentional. And even down to, again, what do you want to eat? Because most of the time, there's like light snacks or light refreshments. Maybe there's some champagne being tossed around in the bridal suite while they're getting ready. In the groom suite, there might be some whiskey. And that's, for the most part, it. No one's really thinking about, well, what are these guys eating? Like, because a lot of time, if they're getting ready and you didn't think about what they're eating, they probably won't eat until the reception.
Yeah, where are their mimosas and bagels and croissants and like strawberries? Right.
Or Chick-fil-A, Chick-fil-A most recently was a common request. But yeah, just being mindful of just thinking about those small things that are already intuitive when it comes to the bridal experience. And the guy's like, oh, we'll just put them in the room and we'll come get them when we're ready.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times you miss out on those moments. Like, you catch the moments where the bride and the bridal party are getting their makeup put on and a prep. And a lot of times when it comes to photography, the grooms, when they're getting their pictures, they're already dressed. You miss the moment where the best man is tying the bow tie or putting on the cufflinks, unless you stage it. There's really few moments outside of coordination where you can actually catch those candid moments where you can actually capture that emotion of it being done authentically.
I have a great question for you. And this is just, this is for me being a wedding planner on the day of, but we also get a lot of questions like, well, I'd like to have a few photos of the guys getting ready. How long should I allocate? Or we have one photographer, so, she's going to have to pop over to where he's getting ready. Like, how long should she be there? And I'm always of the mindset, like, for women, it takes a long time to get ready. Granted, I don't want the photographer seeing the whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. But like for women, we need a good, like, for getting ready photos, like a good 30 minutes to an hour in there. But for the guys, I'm like, well, usually like 20 to 30 minutes is pretty good because, they're really, like you're saying, doing the bow tie or putting on the jackets or doing a cheers or whatever it is. Would you say that I'm inaccurate there?
I would say typically the couple is matched. They're kind of equally yoked in the type of thing that they like. Of course, when you're kind of having that initial consultation, the groom's typical response to whatever she wants, and it's all about her, it's her day too. However, they have similar interests in that regard. So if the bride is having about an hour getting ready, the groom should have anywhere, I would say maybe 30 to 45 minutes, maybe not a full hour. Mm-hmm. Just shave it a little bit, because you have to think about, for example, it's not just about the groom, it's also about the moments that he's having. So with my grooms, once I get the master itinerary from you, if we're collaborating on a wedding, I create a groom-centric itinerary. And one of the things that I base it off of is the time that the photographer is scheduled to come to the room and how much time we have. And so from there, I have the groom and the groom then get dressed up to a certain point so that when they come, when the photographer VIP comes, we can capture these cufflinks, these bow tie moments more candidly and naturally, so that they can capture the emotion. And that can take anywhere from, depending on how large the groom party is, anywhere from like a half an hour to an hour, depending on the size of the groom party.
I think it would go a long way to have someone in the suite with them for you're in there for longer than that time, obviously, yeah, because you created a micro timeline within a bigger timeline in order to make it work with the photographer. But I find that as a planner, whenever I do pop in to the groom's suite or area, wherever it is, at the venue, at the hotel, at the home, they're kind of, the whole group turns to me like, oh, you're here. What do we need to be doing? What should we, do we stand here? Should we put these on? Like, people on their wedding day, part of the pampering experience and the goal of having like a smooth wedding day is feeling like someone is there telling you what to do, so you don't have to like guess or wonder, were we supposed to do that? Yeah. Does she want this in my hand? Am I supposed to pin this on? Where's my dad? He's supposed to be in here. So I feel like they would be eager, that group of guys or whoever's in the room, to like, oh, Cam's here. Like, okay, he's gonna tell
us. Exactly,
like, he's here to keep it going.
Yeah, I kind of guide them through the process. And also you have to think about, the bride is typically much more involved in the process, so they have a better understanding of the overall timeline.
Mm-hmm.
You have to think about, the groom's party, more specifically the groom's men, probably never even looked at the timeline. So they have no idea, like there's no point of reference for what should be happening and when that's going on. So having someone in the room to kind of guide them through that process, because although they don't really need to see it on the grand scheme of things, having someone to say like, okay, 1 o'clock, now we're doing this now, and now we're heading down to the hotel for, and also too, just having that as far as partnering with the planner, having that liaison to kind of contact, because you don't want the groom or the best man trying to call and coordinate and making sure that you're meeting your timelines and your benchmarks along the event planning itinerary. Having someone there to say, okay, well, I know that this is happening with this, and when we get to the venue, the floors will be here. So then we'll start pinning the boutonnieres when we see that the photographer wraps up with the bridal party and they're headed back over here. So understanding how each piece supports the entire scope of the wedding, because you know you don't want to get there and the photographer still is wrapping up with the bridal party, but you know now you're pinning boutonnieres, or someone jumps in, they start pinning boutonnieres. That might be something that they want to capture, because maybe that's where the dads are there, mm-hmm. and the dads come in, and that's when they start to pin boutonnieres. We have to be very mindful about how each part works together, each vendor, each creative collaborator kind of fits into each other to really bring the vision to life.
How much do you work with the groom ahead of time?
It depends. As early as a year out and as close as 3 months. 3 months is typically where I can have an optimal kind of experience working with the groom. And also, not just the groom, but also coordinating the groomsmen, building a rapport with them. One of the most things that I do that I really enjoy is I set up like a group chat, whether WhatsApp is typically what I use. And then it's a group chat with me and just the groomsmen. And what I'm in there doing is we're building a rapport. We're talking to each other. I'm trying to get to know them a little bit, and they're also kind of get to know me a little bit, because I'm going to be in the room with them. So right. It's also allowed for a certain level of comfort while I'm in there, so that they can really truly be themselves. Each friend group is different, and they interact differently. So you want to be as relaxed as possible during that process. And I find that being involved and kind of just setting the tone of rapport. Like, hey, I'm Cameron. I'll be with you the day of. Setting that expectation, they're a little bit more relaxed, and since they know they may not have met me in person, but since they kind of know of me and know who I am, it definitely allows for a much more organic, a much more smooth experience.
And you answer, they could text questions ahead of time. I think that would be.
Lots of texting. Texting when I'm working with rentals, we do a virtual fitting. So a lot of times, you know, they'll get their garments and like they have these more modern rental programs where they actually ship them to their home. But I actually have my groomsmen actually try them on, and we'll do a fitting, a virtual fitting for me to make sure that there are things that as a professional that I'm looking for aesthetically that they may not necessarily be looking for that may cause a problem on the day of. You know, like I had a groom, if he did it, like he got his garment and he tried the fitter on, but if he didn't try it on when it came in, he wouldn't have noticed that it was a slight hole under the crotch. But because I encouraged him to try it on, we were able to spot that, rectify that, and you know, and move forward. Because that slight hole, you do one nice dance move, it turns to a big hole, or you have to do a big step over a rock or something or whatever it is. It definitely can go from little to big very quickly.
Yeah, or the ring drops the ceremony and he bends down to pick it up and whoop.
exactly. We don't want to be showing any undergarments.
No.
My husband's been a groomsman when I was not in the wedding party. So I was like in that category of like extras. Like I'm kind of around when they were doing photos and stuff, but I wasn't in the wedding party, but he was. And there was like 10 guys in this wedding party, and it was years ago. They all rented like zoot suits. It was like practically themed wedding in that way. And he gets his suit and then we have to travel to Southern California to be in the wedding. And I don't think he ever tried on his pants. And so then, you know, they're made to be hemmed hundreds of times, just like for whoever's wearing them. Mm-hmm. And they were inches, his hems were inches too long, not something that I could just easily like safety pin up because I kind of know what I'm doing. he tries them on like the morning of the wedding. And I was like, what are you doing? Did you not try these on before we got here? And then he opened up his new box of shoes, you know, like wing tip, the whole, it was a whole thing. Two left shoes. This is the morning of the wedding. And I go, how you're a grown man with a good job. You're a capable adult. How do you have two left shoes in here? And he goes, well, when I ran in to buy them, I just tried on one and then I just bought the box. And I was like, I didn't even know it was possible that anybody just tries on one shoe before they buy shoes. So we run to, like, on our way to the church, no joke, we run into a Nordstrom Rack, I think, that was next to a Payless or DSW. So my husband can run in with his extra long pants. I'm like pulling safety pin, you know, pins out of my bag so that he can just get a pair of shoes off the shelf and wear them. And of course they were, you know, not comfortable, just all of it. It was one example where I was like, this would not happen. This is, I cannot believe this is even happening. And his suit was one of many suits in that groom's party that just did not,
it just did not look good.
And for all the money that was spent on that wedding and for the photographer that they hired, like, you know, it was for the couple, obviously a very important day. And I look at those pictures and just see some like rumpled, ill-fitting. Yeah, not, it just was not. There was no reason that should have happened.
Well, think about it. Think about the shopping for bridal, the bridesmaid dresses. It's a whole to do. It's a whole experience. It's, you make it fun and, you know, do I like it? You're doing all of that stuff and you're taking the time. The traditional guys, fitting experience is like, you do your fitting. If it fits, they might not ever look at it again. And because it's, especially because of rental, you have to think about the level of pride that's associated with the garments. Now, if he was going, if your husband was going on a job interview, I'm sure that the shoes were much more, he was paying much more attention and had a little bit more detail oriented. However, since traditionally the expectation is that, oh, we just kind of just show up and play, mm-hmm. and we just kind of show up and be seen and not heard, since that is the mindset typically, then it translates through the entire groom experience. It's everything is like blasé mm-hmm. or just kind of going through emotions. It's being handled for me. And the thing is, there's no one that's really set to be mindful of everything that can go on with that. So like one thing I always make sure when I can, I make myself present for the fitting, for the, whether it's rentals, whether you're custom, whether whatever it is, I make try to be present for the fitting. It's specifically for the groom, but if possible, if the groom then, and I also try to make an event out of it, because then also, you know, making sure that everyone's trying on their shoes, like, oh, you look that, oh, you look good, oh, you look sharp. That goes a long way down the process, right? Because now you're looking forward to getting dressed for it versus like the highlight of the event is the reception. That, oh, we just got to get through this and get to the reception, have a good time and parlay with the guy. You're actually being more intentional about enjoying the experience of being a groomsman from start to finish, not just the reception.
I mean, just communicating as a group would have gone a mm-hmm. long way, because I think sometimes the groom, like it's with this group of friends, my husband, they all play fantasy football together. They communicate with each other. They give each other a lot of shit, and it's a lot of like shit talking, and this is the kind of stuff they would not say around, you know, us or other people. But if the groom in that case had sent a text out to be like, hey guys, if you could all just try on your pants and like make sure the hem is okay, you know, before we get to San Diego, that would be really great. Like other people would have commented back and been like, okay, all like they would have like given him shit for like caring, I think. But if somebody like you had been on a text and been like, hey, Bill hired me, you know, I wanted to get, you know, we're all in this together. I'm going to be there. I'm helping you. It would have helped to have a leader, I guess. People feel like you're a professional.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is helpful. So, I mean, again, like, they like to shoot the shit. That's obviously. And like when I get into these groom's texts, I get to really see the personality of the individuals, but the personality of the group. And so I would say most recently over the summertime, when we did our fitting and everyone was trying we did the virtual fitting, but we also had everyone take a picture and send it into the group chat so I can then send the picture to the groom so he can see how everyone looks. He was very particular in that way. But of course, they were they started celebrating each other, and they're like, oh, it's not like we about to, you know, we about to kill it out here. Like, we're going to be styling on them. Like, they were excited about how good each other looked.
Yeah.
And so that communication is like those small things. And again, like I said, like, so not everything has a dollar value. You can't put a dollar value to everything, because that moment, those moments in themselves just elevate the experience just for them, because they're communicating with each other. They're celebrating each other. They're giving each other some flack sometimes if it doesn't fit that well, but that flack can be turned into positive to say, okay, make sure I do what I got to do. And most recently in one of our group, everybody was working out 3 months before the wedding. Everybody, like, going to go run, do some type of thing to get themselves in a little bit better shape so they can make sure that they look good in their garments. And that's because they were like, yo, did you run today? Oh, you know, today I got it in. You know, this is what I did, you know, so.
That's a good idea. Like, have a little group thing going on, getting ready for the wedding for the guys.
Yeah, it's definitely, and it's fun.
You're doing a virtual service now. Yeah, for this,
yeah,
right?
So, yeah,
how does that work?
So pretty much it's a groom who is not necessarily in need or looking to have that in-person experience, but are looking for the type of guidance to his planning process and bringing that level of intention and sentiment to his experience. So what I do is, of course, we have a survey that we fill out. And from there, we dive into what are his interests, where his friend grew from, where did he meet them, and things of that nature. And then we could think into like creative gift ideation. You know, not just the, you know, the typical flask and, you know, shot glass is cool. So, you know, branded cigar is cool, but sometimes we can bring a different level of attention and sentiment to it. Like, one of my favorite stories I like to tell is, I had a groom and he met his best friends in, Rome. They were all in business school together at Columbia, but they never interacted with each other. It was like a huge class. And then they got to Rome and they just became like the best of friends. And he wanted to do something super special. And because I was able to sit down and really like talk with him and understand the dynamic of his friendship, we were able to come up with a super cool gift where he got them custom ancient Roman coin cufflinks. We found a guy in London who did ancient Roman coin jewelry, and we made cufflinks,
oh, wow,
sent them over. And then also we had, whiskey, their favorite whiskey, engraved on the side in French. I mean, not in French, I'm sorry, in Italian. He who finds a friend. So like that by itself just elevated the moment of him asking his co-best man to be a part of this, for just giving a whiskey glass and, you know, with their initials on it too. Like, this is very meaningful. Thought about this. I appreciate you taking the time out to be a part of my groom's party. And I really wanted to just show you my level of appreciation. And so like doing things like that. And also are doing coordinating the groomsmen, is particularly if they're doing rentals, again, creating that virtual experience, finding where we're going to rent them from, also doing the virtual fitting to make sure that everything fits properly, and serving as a liaison between the groomsmen and the vendor that's actually providing the garments. Because again, we don't want two left shoes or super long.
Yeah.
You know, but also, but managing that process makes it a little bit easier, because sometimes having procuring the rental process may feel like an extra job, like, oh, this is something extra that I have to do. But if you have someone managing that process for you, it makes it a little much more smoother, and doesn't feel as much like work or a task of being a groomsman, because it's supposed to be a celebration.
Yeah.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
So with the virtual service, just again, so you are meeting with him virtually, you're helping him come up with some very unique ideas to as gifts to his crew. Are you also talking about his attire? And
yeah,
what
so we're
he's
doing
wearing?
Styling. We're doing styling as well. So depending, we'll go through whatever it is they're looking to do as far as custom ready to wear or rentals for himself. And then also what the expectation is for the groomsman styling. I manage that process virtually, where, like, again, if it's a rental process, depending on where you go, I have a well-versed in the players out there that provide garments and can facilitate fittings and things
that probably take more pride in their clothing than the average rental place that's in every city in this country. And you also do, you have a clothing line, don't you?
Yes, I do. So I do offer an in-house custom clothing for clients that are looking to do it, whether either made to measure or bespoke, depending on their palette, what they're interested in. So yeah, I do that as well. And I also, I offer that. And depending on which level you're at or tier, there we rope in or we roll in some of the actual concierge services. So typically if a groom is doing any type of custom garment with me, they automatically qualify for a day of coordination services, concierge services.
So you are in the East Coast.
Yes, Cam. I am.
You're in New Jersey, yeah?
I'm in New Jersey, yes. I served in New York, New Jersey markets and beyond.
Okay. Oh yeah. I mean, you could travel. You're fine traveling.
Yes, I'm definitely fine traveling.
So that's great. But just going back to the virtual thing, I think it's a really great option for those listening that always ask us, what can we do our partner who, you know, for the groom, to make him, you know, feel more, maybe not, maybe the word isn't involved, just make him feel more a part of all of this. Like, yes.
More engaged.
More equal, more engaged. Thank more you. Engaged. You get the words. And as a result of feeling more engaged by being given this kind of attention, you know, then he might feel more inclined to be much more involved in the planning process. Because, you know, he's attached. He's feeling like, okay, yeah, this is for me too. And it is. It so is. And so I think that the virtual, you know, component of this is such a great, it's a brilliant, you know, offering and something a lot of people can use. And just, sorry, going back to this virtual thing, because does it include anything on the wedding day itself, or you creating some sort of schedule for them, or like list of like, let's make sure your pants look this way, they're not hanging too low. Like,
yeah. So, I direct them to some styling, I guess, worksheets or styling templates of what a proper fit looks like. I also, again, I do partner with the planner or the day of coordinator, depending on, you know, who they have, to lay out a more groom-centric itinerary that they can kind of go off of, things that have a must-have list in the room, things like a lint roller, lint roller, breath mints, deodorant, extra pair of socks, you know, maybe an extra bow tie, some spare cufflinks, you know, having a list of what you should have in your room the day of as well, available for you. Glassware, you'd be surprised how many guys got to do their grooming toast out of plastic cups. Mm-hmm. So making sure that you have some glassware available. Lists and to go with it.
So far, we've been talking about grooms that have a bride, but in your experience, a few years of doing this, you have worked with gay couples where there's two grooms. And I was wondering if you felt like there were some, I mean, in my experience, two grooms usually get ready together in the same room, for example, as like a difference or a way that we can think outside of the box a little bit for that pre-ceremony time. Have you seen anything that really works or is like maybe complicated or?
First of all, two grooms, I love it. Two grooms, they are very, there's always one partner that is more involved, like that's kind of like the leader. There's always one, but for the most part, both parties have an idea of what they want their experience to be, and they are very vocal about it. So it makes your job a lot easier because you have an understanding, okay, this is what this groom wants, this is what this groom wants. In my experience, so I haven't had any grooms getting ready in the same area. They typically still have their own area to get ready, and they just have their own experience of getting ready. But yeah, that's kind of been my experience. But I do find that Two Grooms, they both have very good ideas about the experience that they want for themselves, and they can articulate it very well without having to really use a lot of prompts. Mm-hmm. So I find
you don't have to like come up with as much. It's probably more so them letting you know what they need and then you making sure it happens.
Yeah, it's a little more fun because they they have their vision. I bring my experience and expertise to it. And so when we start to kind of collaborate, it's like, oh, that would be dope. Like, oh, I know, I like that. Well, let's try this. So this is something new we can do. So I think that it's just, for me, it's a lot more fun because I feel a little bit more, I don't say challenged, but I feel like I'd be a little bit more creative versus being a little bit more strategic and directed, trying to understand it. Yeah, instead it's more directed. This is allowed to be more creative, man. I enjoy it.
So, Cam, can you give some tips for those listening for the wedding day that you think would be great for our listeners to incorporate into their wedding day, or the men listening to this? Because I think we're going to have a lot of men listening to this episode. I hope. Maybe like just say, like which how they should look getting dressed or experiences or whatever it is.
I would say every groom is different. Every friend group is different. So the things that I can say is be authentic in your experience. Like if you guys are a little rowdy and rambunctious and practice group jokers, like it's okay to kind of have that in incorporate that a little bit. Like, let's not get carried away, but it's okay to show that personality in your friend group. Have fun. One thing that I do with all my grooms now, I started with one groom and it was his idea, but I think it's a really cool idea, is we do a before and after shot. So it also kind of speaks to being proud of what you look at. So we have like the video. I don't know if you saw this past summer, it was like the Don't Rush challenge where you show like you're not dressed, mm-hmm. like you're dressed in like your leisure clothes, and then you cover the camera and then come back out and then like now you're fully dressed. So that's something that I'm kind of incorporating now moving forward for all my weddings, because now I feel like, oh, the guys are just hanging around, they're smoking their cigars, they're playing poker, they're playing whatever it is that they're doing, hanging out, and then they you know, they cover the camera, come back up, or they pan out, and now they're fully dressed and they're, you know, looking dapper, feeling confident, and they're walking off. So that's one thing that allows them to kind of show some personality and have fun. I think it's really important to understand that, or just remember that you invited these groomsmen to celebrate this experience with you. Like they're a part of this to be supporting. So do as much things that are aligned with your friendship personality, your friend group personality, and just really have fun with it. Yes. If you guys are being like beer, you know, have beer. You want to play some beer pong, and like that's what you guys do. Play some beer pong, like, you know, do that. If you guys are into high quality, I guess, hors d'oeuvres, and you guys want to have some grapes and wine and cheese,
foodies,
like, do that. If you're foodies, like incorporate that. If you guys want to do a HIIT cardio workout before, like a quick 30 HIIT cardio workout before you guys get things going and kind of get the blood flowing, let's do that.
It seems like you're setting things up in a way deliberately, intentionally, to allow everybody to like take some pride in the day, like take some pride in the experience. These are your core friends and family, and it's not every outing that you guys really do it up and like look at each other and you're like looking sharp and ready to kind of mm-hmm. strut out of that hotel or room, you know, with some pep in your step. Like it's an elevated version and that should be fun. And I think sometimes it takes a little bit of help to get to the point where you can embrace that and enjoy it to the fullest extent. We do talk about the wedding day experience. You're spending so much money on this day. So you want to set it up so that you enjoy it, like all of it. Enjoy the process. But that takes a little bit of work on the front end to get there.
Yeah. How many times do you get to be your own James Bond? Like you're going to be dressed to the nines. You're going to be in a beautiful venue. You're probably going to be transported in a super nice car. get you some nice whiskey. Take those shots. Like get the photography and that video of you looking your best with your crew. You know, like this is your Rat Pack. Mm-hmm. You know, so you know, embody what that is, and embody what that is for your friend group, for your groom party, whatever that personality is for your people. Do that. If it's the superhero socks and everybody has on like a, well, I don't recommend it, but I've seen it. The superhero t-shirt under, like if that's the thing, everybody can do that. Mm-hmm. Like, do what makes sense for you guys, because it's only going to make the experience that much better than you guys just waiting around for the photographer to come and take your pictures.
You said take those shots. I was like, but then I realized you're talking about photos.
No, not those shots.
Hold off on taking those shots, but take the other shots.
Yeah, not those shots, yeah.
Take those a little bit later, if at all. How about just like some basic tips for getting dressed? Like, I remember you and I were talking and you're talking about how like the pants, typically men don't realize where the pants need to sit.
Oh yeah, yeah.
At their waist.
Yeah, so when you're getting dressed, first of all, making sure that your garments fit properly. We don't want things that are too tight because we don't want to bust any seams, but we also don't want anything that's too loose because for lack of better description, we don't want Aladdin pants, you know? So we want to make sure that our pants are fitting properly. Also where you wear your pants. A lot of guys are more likely wearing their pants a little lower these days, but that's actually what causes them to feel tight through the thigh region and like in the lower crotch, because you're not giving your legs a full range of motion. And also too, for vanity purposes, if you just pull them up just a little bit, maybe tuck the belly in just a little bit, it'll give you a lot more room for comfort for moving around. But also too, it'll make sure, like sometimes guys will put their pants on and when they get it fitted, they're like, oh, they fit perfectly. But then they put them on and they're wearing them, since they're not with the tailor, they say, oh, they're too long. Just pull them up just a little bit. Be mindful of how you're getting dressed as far as the group together. So we don't want Bob over here fully dressed, ready to go, and James over here is still in his boxers. So if you can, just have everyone like, okay, look, everyone, let's put on our pants first. Mm-hmm. Everyone, let's put on our shoes now, our socks and shoes. Everyone, let's put on our shirts. Because then for me, that's what I do. I would say, okay, so when the photographer comes or the videographer comes, the groom party is only dressed in their pants, shoes, and shirt. They don't have any jewelry on. They don't have the jackets on. They have the bows. Because then when he comes in, then you can catch those first time actual candid real life moments of them actually putting on their bow ties, helping each other do their buttons, helping each other put on their cufflinks. And like that allows for real authentic photography with emotion. And it's helping.
So pants, shoes, and shirt. So shirt buttoned up, tucked in, pants, shoes.
So it's pants and shoes first, and then you put on the shirt, but no, not button. I don't do any buttoning until the photography team gets there.
Okay.
So they can help each other do the buttoning and do the cufflinks from there. And then everyone can help each other put on their, their cufflinks, help each other put on the bow ties. If they're pre-tied, they'll be pre-tied. If they're self-tied, if they need assistance, I'll help them with the self-tie. And then I typically, depending on who's in the room, I typically have the best man help out putting on the cufflinks and the watch. And then I have the father help with the bow tie. Just for those kind of moments. Or whoever that special person is. And then if I'm in the room as well, I always put on everyone's jacket. So I typically have everyone's jacket lined up on the valet cart in order from how they'll be standing at the altar, of course, with the groom and the front. And then so then we're putting him on backwards. So who's at the back of the line, where I'm putting on his shirt, his jacket, making sure that he's putting it on properly. No one's putting their jacket on like it's a shirt with their arms up in the air, like we're doing it properly. And then go from there. You shouldn't be putting on your jackets until like you're ready to go.
You're ready to go. Right. See, this is good. I'm going to start implementing this. The whole having the pants, the shoes, the shirt unbuttoned. And that's as far as you go until your crew comes in to start those getting ready shots.
Exactly. And then
I love that.
And that also helps you. That also saves a lot of time because You're not looking for shots to curate in stage. You have a very natural thing. You're not saying like, oh, let's do this. They're just going through the getting ready process. You don't need to recreate any moments.
That's great. That's such a, I took something away.
Okay. I have I have two questions.
18 years.
What's that?
Well, one is suspenders versus belt, both. Which one do you need? What's what? And then the other question is for if the jackets are going on last and we're kind of like out the door, then if there's a floral boutonniere, do you prefer to wait to pin those on like right before the ceremony starts, like once we're at the venue there? So those are my two detail questions.
So first question, pants versus belt versus suspenders. It depends on if you're doing suit versus tuxedo. So if you're doing a suit, you can do a belt. If you're doing a tuxedo, you should be doing suspenders. Tuxedos don't wear a belt. So that's that there. The jacket, when you say you're kind of putting the jacket on when you're heading out the door. So my process is typically you put the jacket on and then we do the toast and then we're out the door. And then typically the flowers are at the venue. So depending on where the guys are getting ready, the flowers should be at the venue with the florist. So you should be picking those up from the florist so they're as fresh as possible. They're not crushed or anything like that. I put that on when they say, oh, we're almost ready to get the show, the ceremony's almost ready to go. That's when we start pinning the boutonnieres. And also, too, I typically like to wait till the photography team is done with the bridal party. Because in my experience, it's been the photography team, they come to the groom party first for a little while, and then they go and do the rest of it for the bridal party, or whether they're at the bridal party, come to the grooms and then go back to them, whatever, however it goes. But then I'll wait till they kind of get back to the venue and, you know, if they have a few moments, because it's not long, a few moments to kind of catch those shots of pinning the boutonnieres before the guy kind of get ready to go out to the ceremony. So another style thing I just wanted to think about, your grooms, every groom should have a second shirt, no matter what. Second shirt for the groom. Two reasons, because if you're up there and your bride and she's just so beautiful and you're nervous while you see her coming down, you might sweat a little bit. You know, if you have your heavy sweater, you need to be mindful of that. You might want to change your shirt for the reception, especially if it's an outdoor wedding in the summertime. That can happen. Also, those aunts, they like to lay the makeup on, those aunties. And sometimes, you know, that it get a little bit of smudge here, and you want to make sure that, you know, you look as crisp as possible. If you don't use it, trust me, no guy ever complained about having too many white shirts. But if you do, it's always good to have.
Let me ask you this logistically. You've got two shirts. Mm-hmm. They're unfolded. They're steamed. They're on a hanger.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to bring one of them with you to the venue and just try not to wrinkle it in the car on the way there. Have it there already from the day before.
Yeah, it should be at the venue. It should be at the venue already. So if I'm with you guys as a groom and concierge, I have that. I'm managing all of that process. If you don't have a dedicated groom concierge there, I would have a space that is dedicated for that. And with the common trend of people making outfit changes anyway, you can kind of store it in the area where you'll be storing wherever your garments are for the outfit change. You know, some guys are doing. They're changing their jackets. So they're going from a more formal classic jacket to a more colorful, maybe jacket with more personality, dinner jacket for the reception. Again, brides are doing the same thing too. Like brides are switching up. Maybe they're switching from heels to sneakers, whatever it is. Wherever those items are, you can have that stored there as well.
So good. There's so much. And this is an eye-opening for me.
To me, I feel like it's not so much. It's just the same things that are happening on the bride's side. These are normal things that you're just thinking about automatically for the bride. That same level of, again, intention is not being put into the guys. And it's just literally, I can just come in and say, I don't really like to say mini planner, because like what planners do is not for me. You guys are superheroes in a major way. I like to stay in my lane here, but when it comes to managing those type of those services that are directly related to the groom experience and managing the logistics that's directly related to them, that advocate that the planner is for the bride, I am that to the groom and the groom's party as a whole.
Well, Yeah, I love that. And I mean, interestingly enough, Cam, like as a planner, we have thousands of other things to attend to. I don't necessarily, like, I do have my emergency kit. I go check on things. I go into the suite. I say, how's it going? I'll touch up things if I see it. But I'm not, you know, helping anybody get dressed, not even the women. You know what I mean? Like, I'm making sure everything else is going on. I'm sure there probably are planners that might do that. Mm-hmm. And I once worked with a team of women who actually their job is kind of what you do, but for women, mm-hmm. you know, and they're constantly taking care of the dress and the steaming and the making sure she looks okay. And, you know, dabbing the lips, everything having to do with that. But I don't really take part in that. You know okay. what I mean? So, but that being said, there's always a crew of women in there with her that are,
yeah, that,
that are helping out. Yeah. Right. So, but not for the men.
It well, just also, yeah. And even if there's not a team in there, you have to, again, like just in society speaking, the bride experience, when you bring on your bridesmaids, they're already either have been brides or looking to be brides. So their level of excitement, they've been planning for this day their whole life. You know what I'm saying? Whether they're the bride or the bridesmaid, they've been playing, but if the bride, they understand what their role is. If they're a bridesmaid, they understand what the role is in support. The groom's party, like they're having, there's no intention of what roles are and how the groomsmen can be supported to can other than throwing a bachelor party, like there's, or and then holding the rings. Like there's a whole lot of levels and layers that the groomsmen aren't even necessarily understanding of how they can be of value in that way, so that it doesn't translate into the experience. So that's where now someone like me comes in and not only gets the groom together, but also helps and also, you know, shows that for the groomsmen as well. Because like I said, the bridesmaids, like they already are excited equally as a bride and being a part yeah. of that process. They know what to do.
Well, very, very good. This has been a great episode. And I think I love what you're doing. And thank I know you. That, you know, a lot of wedding planners just like, boom, recommend you off the bat. I think it's fantastic. So keep on doing it. I mean, I'm excited about it. Can you move to California? Can you just come out here?
I'm not right, quite ready to leave the East Coast. I'm a city boy all day. So, I'm not ready to drive around everywhere quite yet.
That is true. It's a big difference. Well, okay. Yeah. So tell everybody how they can find you. And I think you want to offer a little discount to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast listeners.
Yeah, I do. So everyone, you can find me on my website, FontaineConcierge.com. That's my social media, Fontaine Concierge. And you can also email me, call me, DM me. I respond to all of those ways. And also, I am offering 20% off services to anyone that mentions the Big Wedding Podcast, Big Wedding Planning Podcast, moving forward. So anyone who hears this episode and wants to get services, reach out to me. I definitely take care of you guys. I appreciate you guys for having me here.
They're going yeah. to, Cam. We hear from guests we've had on, even for some like niche, even more niche services or something that we're like introducing to people. And then the guests will email us and be like, I just got two, which is so cool. Cause then we want to hear about how the day goes and we have you there to like keep us updated and send pictures or like show us how like in action it actually works. So.
Yeah. Well, actually I was going to say this. What we also to kind of make it a little smoother for the listeners, if they go on my website, I have my groom survey. At the bottom of my groom survey, it asks, how'd you hear about us? You can actually put in there Big Wedding. And like okay. that's why that's how I know that, you know, you heard the podcast.
Tell them we sent ya.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think just the at the very least, this virtual package, like gifting that is so well worth it. And it's not, it's a very, you know, it's a good price.
No, yeah, I think so. I think it's virtual. I don't, you know, the time and for as far as just being there, typically my half day services are 4 to 6 hours. My full, you know, what a full planning day looks like. That's a 10 to 12 hour day. So when I'm there for four, so, you know, it's just more so advice, just sitting there,
yeah.
putting things together, laying it out, Typically, you know, couples who are self-planning or planning on hiring a coordinator, I think it's a great service for those couples who just like a little bit of guidance to get to the finish line. So,
yeah, fabulous. Okay, well, check him out at Fontaine Concierge. That's Fontaine Concierge.com. Cameron, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you and what you do.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you, ladies. Thank you for having me. And I'll talk with you soon.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Christy Matthews, and Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available for free on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Follow us on Instagram at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join us and our amazing members. Just search The Big Wedding Planning Podcast Community on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 415-723-1625 and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love your show.
Bye.